Are you compassionate towards yourself? What do you do for self-care? How do you show yourself love? Follow Unwrap Wellness on Instagram and visit their website at www.unwrapwellness.com for inspirational content to help you mentally, physically, and spiritually. The following episode deals with a very sensitive topic, as it is my goal to always bring awareness and create a safe space to discuss such topics. I understand it can be triggering for some to hear and talk about. Your discretion moving forward is highly encouraged. Of course, there are some people from high school who you keep in contact with. You are still friends to this day. And there's other people who you just have a friendship over social media. Today's guest, me and her, we went to high school together all 4 years. And the vibes between us in school were always positive, always good. Like, she was always a cool person. Of course, after school, after we graduated, you know, we went our separate ways, different colleges, and we just reconnected when she did my hair last December. Yes, we've been Instagram friends, followers for some time now, but you never know how things are going to be when in real life, right? Over on social media, it's been positive, you know, but I just, you know, you're never sure in person. And I'm glad to say that while she was doing my hair, we had a good time reconnecting after 10 years since graduation. And we even shared an intimate moment where she told me about the relationship she was in where she experienced domestic violence. So she had to come on the show today. And in fact, she even told me that she wanted to be on the show to talk about her story. So please welcome Catherine to today's show.
Hi, I'm Nicole Ebanks. I'm the host of Soul and Substance, the podcast. I'm also a journalist and a blogger, and I'm going to carry you through conversation where we're going to talk about those in-depth topics, those topics we're all afraid to talk about. I can guarantee you transparency, honesty, and pure realness, because the perspectives come from my own, celebrities, locals, and you especially. Soul and Substance starts right now. Catherine, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you to Soul and Substance.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be a treat, and I know you guys are really going to enjoy this. So we're just going to dive right in. One of the revelations that I've had recently is about insecurities and how much it has plagued my life. And one of the biggest things that I have concluded about insecurities is that you never know how insecure you are until you grow up. Mm-hmm. And just realizing, you know, the different insecurities that I have, such as, like, you know, feeling comfortable in certain spaces or feeling that I'm needed in certain spaces or how I look, all those type of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I realize how much it plagues my thinking and my daily living. But I found it, you know, that we can overcome such a thing. So that's why I thought it would be great if I had the Catherine come on the show and talk to me a little bit about that. So I wanted to just ask, who is Catherine? Who is Catherine today?
Such a hard question, which is terrible because you should be able to just say.
So is it something that we should kind of just chip away or come back to?
Who am I? I mean, I'm a new graduate. Hey, that's what I'll say. I'm a new graduate.
Yes. Big up yourself.
I think I'm generally, honestly, a nice person. for real. True. I will admit I am an emotional person. I recently realized that I'm smarter than I think. You know, it sucks because sometimes you think, like, I'm not as smart, especially when you hear, like, your friends say certain things or see where they're at, especially being in school for so long, seeing all your friends graduate, stuff like that, it's just like, sometimes when I say stuff, I feel like, damn, that didn't sound smart. Whatever, but I'm smarter than I think. Self-aware.
You know, intelligence, I think, you know, also goes along with experience and also that's your true. Confidence, too.
That's true.
So how you're conveying it. And we're our worst critics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Like, I should be able, like, if I was somebody else and the way I talk to myself sometimes, I probably would fight that person.
Really?
It's so sad. Yeah. It's actually really sad, but, you know, it's like I find myself being more negative about myself than positive about myself, but it's something that you have to, like, do on purpose, especially when you do struggle with insecurities. I feel like you have to do it on purpose. Like, remember, like, that negative thought is just a thought.
But where do you think it stems from?
Oh, well, for me, interesting. This is something I've thought about recently a lot. Okay. Like, because I do a lot of, like, you know, one thing that we connect on is that we write. Mm-hmm. And I write to myself a lot. I'm always buying a new notebook and a new pen. I just bought some yesterday, actually.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to start my book. So that's where I went.
I love it. I love it.
But I realized for me, I would say it personally started from maybe the absence. I hate to be the girl with daddy issues, but
no.
The absence of my father, because I see like how it is with females that are my age, younger, or females that grew up with their father. And how they are compared to me, it's just a little bit different.
I know what you mean.
It's like my daddy will, I don't know. It's like you just are more, I don't want to say more grounded. I don't want to put females that don't have their fathers down or anything like that. But it's just, I don't know. It's just a difference. And, I mean, you know, childhood. Unfortunately, I realized that, I took in and grew up a lot with the negative things people said about me when I was young.
Oh, so like bullying?
Yeah. So it's like,
okay.
You would think, okay, you grew up, so let it go type thing. All right, girl, like at this point, you know who you are in a way, whatever.
Yeah.
But that didn't really happen for me. I'll say, that didn't really happen for me. Like, interesting enough, other people see me as more confident than I feel. So, like, I've had a couple people that said, girl, you were the one, you were like the captain of the step team, and
right,
girl, you were performing.
Yeah,
and you be this, and you got, somebody told me, I swear to God, this guy told me, he was like, oh, yeah, we were cool back in, like, middle school or something, but I felt like we were in two different groups.
Oh.
And I was like, what do you mean?
Right.
And he was like you were with the popular kids and I was with...
Yes.
I said,
yes.
Me?
You didn't believe that?
Me?
Really?
I'm like, okay, maybe I know them, but it's not that like I'm popular like that's
this. But you know what? I will say this, like, for those who don't know, we went to high school together.
Yeah.
And so, Catherine, I feel like you mixed with all different types of people.
Most definitely. So that's why I was confused.
So, but again, I think he's accurate in saying that, you know, it's funny how you saw yourself, and I'm speaking past tense because we are talking about back then.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw yourself in a negative way then, where a lot of people kind of had this revered spirit towards you.
Wow.
Or just really like, she's a magnetic person. And your life inside was none of that. Even now,
isn't
you still
interesting?
See it that way.
Yeah, it sucks.
And that's
but
crazy.
It's okay. We move. We work. I don't know. Yeah.
I can attest to that. Like, even, you know, back to insecurities, like, you don't know, we're our worst critics,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was bullied per se, but I always got a comment of, you're fat, or, you know, you're big, all those types of things, or, Nicole, I would date her if she was slimmer, or stuff like that, or, I was quieter back then, so it's like, you know, not many people gravitate toward you, so you always have this negative mindset versus the positive that is being said towards you. Mm-hmm. We tend to hold on to the negative no matter what. And yeah. It transcends throughout adolescence and adulthood. Girl. I just don't get it.
No, it's crazy because, like, I feel you. Like, I feel you. It's the same thing. Being a, you know, thicker girl, bigger girl, whatever they want to call it. It's, you know, it's always been a problem. It's funny. I actually had this conversation with my boyfriend recently, whatever, where he was kind of talking about, like, I mean, well, he's from, like, Cameroon. Okay. So, like, when it's interesting how when certain people use the word fat, like, my mom never raised me to use the word fat. Like, okay. She always likes, like, heavy, like, I don't know, or think, like, we'll say, she just felt like fat was disrespectful, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I guess for him, he's like, he doesn't think of it, it's crazy, I'm a writer, but I'm not good with pronouns, nouns, verbs, all that BS. I know a verb is an action, but anyways, F that.
It's okay.
He said it's just a way to describe someone, right?
Yeah.
So he was saying it to someone. I was like, nah, like, you have to understand, like, some of us, especially out here, the way we grew up, and, like, fat, it's like a negative situation. You know what I'm saying? As if being bigger or whatever you want to call it, chubby, da-da-da, is a terrible thing.
It's a negative term.
I'm just like, we're all human and it sucks.
Right. It does.
Mm.
So besides, like, physical insecurities, what are the more like in-depth, like, inward insecurities that you have? Like, I express that I don't feel like I'm good enough in certain spaces. When I mean that, like, as a writer, mm-hmm. when I'm up against, or okay, going back to, like, journalism school, I felt like, number one, journalism just fell in my lap. And then two, when I was in school, I felt like I was against people who dreamt and bleed journalism. Mm-hmm. And they represented that. And I felt like they were great at interviewing. Even though we were all students, I felt like they were the best of the best. And they had, you know, internships and all of that. Even to this day, even in, like, smaller spaces where, like, I'm meant to, like, have to present something or perform something, I feel like I'm not capable of doing that. So what are some insecurities, you know, not so much the physical, but, like, some insecurities that you feel like you've struggled with in the past, or maybe even still to this day?
Inward. I think I started by saying that I was a very emotional person. And it sucks. That's another thing. You know what I'm saying? It's another thing that, wow, okay, just, it's like, if you have, I guess, regulated emotions, everybody thinks you're good. Or if you're hardcore, they're like, yeah, like, you know, I don't know. They put strength with not being emotional, which is weird to me. So for me, it's like I've kind of grown in this space, and I was always emotional even younger, but I realized, honestly, #COVID #COVID it showed me that I don't know, I learned that I was, that there's such a thing as, like, it's called an HSP, like, highly sensitive person. And because I cry a lot, and I'm just like, girl, like, I'm just looking at the people around me, I'm like, they probably wouldn't cry because of this. Like, what's wrong with me?
Or whatever. Unique?
I mean, I guess so.
You're not like everybody.
But girl, you can't be at work and somebody make you upset and you're just crying.
But, okay.
You know, like, and there's moments where, that's what I'm saying, like, there's moments where I feel that way. There was even times, like, during COVID, I would just be around my friends, like, literally the people I love. Mm-hmm. Literally around the people I love, and I will feel so, like, alone. It's just so weird. I don't know. It's like everybody starts, they're getting along, da da da, and it's like, I know I'm in a happy area or space, but, like, internally I wasn't feeling that way. And I would, like, have to remove myself, and I would kind of break down. It ended up becoming, like, a habit where I realized I was removing myself in, like, special or important situations. Oh, and
is that intense?
Yeah. And it's like these people actually, you said something earlier, I don't even know how you worded it, but you said something about like not, I don't know if you said it like not realizing that you're like needed, or basically in a way that like people want you around, people want you there, obviously. And for me, in my head, it was like, these people don't care if I'm here or if I'm not. So when I separated myself, I felt like it was better because I didn't want to bring like the rest of the room down. But then not realizing me separating myself actually made it worse.
Yeah.
Like to the point that, you know, I had to have a lot of conversations with friends and stuff like that. During COVID, I did get a therapist. That was the first time I ever got a therapist.
Wow.
And that was interesting for about a year. It was not interesting. It was a lot. Is I'm not with her today, but there's a lot of things today that I tried to still do the work. She did tell me that like I had a problem with consistency, so, and I'm realizing it myself.
Okay.
Every time I feel like I'm going forward, I kind of like go back. But yeah, I like one of my biggest things I would say internally, because I realize a lot of my insecurities may come from, I don't know, maybe the physical, but the biggest one would be like the fact that I'm super emotional, which I guess it shouldn't be a bad thing, but hey.
I don't think it is a bad thing, just because, like, I wouldn't say, okay, when you made that example about someone get mad at you at work, you ready to start crying. I feel like I can relate to you a little bit, but then if I think it out, so maybe I'm biased. But I just think it shows, it brings you back to humanity. Like, it just makes you a little bit more personable. You know, you always need that person in the room to kind of just bring things back. If everyone's all the same, you know what I mean? How can you truly evolve or try to, you know? And I'm sure that, you know, they felt some type of way like, yo, Kat ain't here. You know what I mean? That you had to remove yourself. And do you always feel like you make a space uncomfortable?
I started to. I'll say today, I'll definitely say God's grace, things have changed.
Okay.
But it's 2022. So yeah, 2021, I will honestly say like that's how I felt. Like I was making everybody around me just feel weird. And I mean, I've had conversations with my friends and they've been honest with me. Mm-hmm. And at a point in time, I was. To the point where I, you know, there were certain situations I wouldn't necessarily, you know, be invited to. Not to be shady or anything like that, but it's like just to, you know, they, and I would have to honestly understand it. Like, be like, yo.
So what kind of events or gatherings are they like, let's not invite Catherine?
Well, not even like that. I don't want to say it like that. It's more so, I realized, and I told them, like, they told me, actually, like, figure out what situations are making you feel that loneliness, and then maybe you have to kind of, like, take a step back or figure out why, or speak. That was the next issue that they were telling me. I was not speaking about it. I was not speaking about it. I was going to the side. Yeah, like, you know, trying to figure it out, just crying over there, whatever, but it's like, you want things to be fixed, but how can things be fixed if you're not talking?
Knows.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's definitely not a situation. I don't even think it was like, oh, yeah, she's not invited because she's going to ruin it. I don't think it was something like that. I think it was something we all consciously knew that it's a possibility that I could feel some type of way. For some reason, last year, it was just so, I don't know. It was like, so much was just going on, like, with me personally, and it's hard. It sucks when you can't even really say what it is. You can't even really say what it is. But yeah, I think, I don't know.
Go ahead.
There was something I was gonna say it to you, and I forgot. I wanted to say it right after you said it. No, because it was, I guess it was my time to speak, and I should have just said it first before I started talking, but it's okay. You said something, and I wanted to point it out and be like, facts, but I Hopefully so.
Well, we hide our insecurities, and like you mentioned that you internalized everything, and nobody knew, what was going on and what you were struggling with, and we tend to do that a lot. If I'm speaking for myself personally, I will mask my feelings and deal with it my own way, just because I feel like I'm being a burden, mm-hmm. making someone else uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. I don't think it's okay. So, with that being said, there's something that you did personally share with me. And, I think that I just want to give you the time. And, you have the floor to kind of talk about your story, your relationship, where you were in a compromising, position.
Girl, you could just say. You're so funny. You should be so sweet. I appreciate it.
Because also to those who are listening.
I feel you.
But yes, like you said, get to it.
No. I wasn't trying to rush you or anything.
No. experiencing domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And how that started.
It's like, okay, I guess there's no short part. Okay, so what did I tell you? I said when I was in elementary school, middle school, whatever, I felt, I took it with me as I grew up, the insecurities of people calling me all types of names and da 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 da. My ex, I met him 9th grade, literally right after being in middle school. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'll start by saying the time that people had to kind of figure themselves out in a way as a teenager by themselves or whatever, whether they went down, up, da 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 da. Literally right after, I don't even know what month it was that I met him, but mm-hmm. it was maybe November, and we started school in September of high school. And I was with him for a while, on and off, of course. We're in high school, but the interesting thing about it is in high school, he never he didn't put his hands on me at all. He wasn't. I don't even think he was verbally abusive. Now that I think about it, he was just a cheater. That's it. which is not a good thing, but it's that's really what it was. And the next thing is, we were in high school. I mean, he left the school at a point in time, went to another school, just a lot.
And cheating, sorry to interrupt. Cheating meant talking to other women, having sex with other women. What exactly was cheating?
He definitely was having sex with other women, because, girl, I didn't graduate to that part of my life until after high school. Okay. So
okay.
It was definitely
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
But it was all of it. Yeah. Even in it would just be the small things. You could tell he liked being a player or whatever, because he would see me, and he would. In certain moments, I don't think he cared that I saw him flirting with somebody else, whatever. Forget all that. It's so interesting that all of that happened, though. I don't think about it. But, but yeah, it was after high school, for real. Me and him were on and off. 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. Surprisingly enough, 12th grade, I don't know what made me say, I'm not going to worry about him. Something said, I'm not going to worry about him, sis. I was like, I'm going to focus. My grades were not the greatest in all of those 3 years before. But by 12th grade, I was getting these 3-point. What? What? Oh, MG. I was going crazy. And still wasn't worried about him, I swear. Went to Bowie State University. A-A-A. I don't know, that's the Facebook times. He hit me up on Facebook, and that's when we got to talking. Da, 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 da. Interesting thing is, he did end up, he was about to have a kid or whatever. But the reason why I kind of just let that part go, I guess, is because I wasn't with him, So I was like, okay. And, rekindled. I think what made me really be like, okay, is because time passed and now I'm thinking I'm an adult. Like, I'm out of my mom's house. I'm at school. I have my car. Like, I'm doing my thing. I'm working too. I was doing all that. So I was like, okay, here we go. It was cool though. Like, everything was sweet for a couple of months.
Even though he's about to be Papa.
Right. And I swear, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know. It's like I didn't have those boundaries set at all. Like, I don't think I had boundaries set. I'm still working on my boundaries today, to be honest. Like, let's be honest here. And I felt, I think the excuse that I gave was we were apart. So, yeah, he's about to be a father, but he can be a father over there. And I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, honestly. But, yep. Yeah, we would kick it. He was with my friends. Like, we were always together. And I guess the first night it happened was interesting. Like, he didn't actually, like, hit me or anything like that. But he, like, choked me out. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be as very, like, very graphic. That means
as long as you feel comfortable.
Oh, feel free. Yeah, because I know when I say it today, like, I have friends. I remember when I told my friend, one of my very close friends, younger friends, like, I was explaining to her different things that I've been through, and like, she started like crying, like, she really was like feeling it. And for me at this point, I was just like saying it because it was just really like, you know, is it God's grace? It was an experience that I'm no longer like within, so it's like easier for me to say it, but I know it's not that easy to hear, I guess. But yeah, like, and we were all, I think, I don't even remember why he did it. Was really for no reason. I think I was just dancing with my friends and he felt some type of way. I really didn't understand it. It was really for no reason. And yeah, he was choking me, and my friends, they were trying to get him off of me, and they did.
But he did in front of them.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, they pulled him off of me, God's grace. And I was shocked, but I didn't understand, like, it's so bad. I guess it goes back to insecurities. I mean, if I want to throw something small in there, too, I don't know. I would have never thought let me say this right now. I would have never thought that I would go through it because I watched my mom go through it, like, with my actual father. Yeah, I wasn't raised by my father, but I lived with him and my mom for 5 years of my life. And I was really small, but I did watch, like, some stuff. And I, you know, as I grew up, I never thought I would, like, go through this stuff. And my mom always says it's crazy how she hates it, but I went through it like 10 times worse than her type thing. It's interesting. So generational, what's it called? Curses. Is a thing. It's really a thing. And we really got to do what we got to do to break that. But yeah.
He choked you out that night. First time.
First time.
What were your thoughts?
My thoughts was, what the hell happened? Like, I don't understand what I did. I don't understand why that just happened. And I don't even remember how the rest of the night really went. But what I do remember, because I think we all stayed at my friend's house. So the next day, he left. I remember he left. And I was reaching out to him. Like, I was like, what happened? Da-da-da. Where'd you go? Da-da-da. And I think about it today, and I'd be like, wow, Catherine, wow. Because he told you. He was like, he never wanted to do that to me. He was honest and said that I guess he had done it before or whatever, and he never wanted to do that to me, so he was like basically choosing to leave. And I chased him, of course, unfortunately. I chased him so much, and that was just the beginning. Let's just serve that. That was the beginning of a lot of crazy ass shit. Like, a lot. I tell people all the time, I wrote in my little post, I'm like, I could have been dead and gone a lot of times. And I don't know, it's God's favor that I'm still here. Because, like, when I hear other domestic violence stories or see other situations, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. It was a lot.
What was, like, one of the, like, worst time, like, another worst time that you can kind of rethink of? Like, you felt like, okay, this is
You said this is it?
Like, where you felt like this could be the end for me.
Oh, see, the thing is that, I think I always felt that, which is interesting. Like, I kept feeling that. They say, I actually took a domestic violence class in school after all this, you know, was done. Because I was like, I kind of wanted to get a better understanding of why the hell I, like, stayed. But they do say, and they mean it, like, it takes 7 times. That's what they say, the least amount, 7 times. I tell you, it probably was more than 7 times for me, honestly, because me leaving was not... It wasn't because he put his hands on me. At this point, it was because he put his hands on somebody else. Wow. And that wasn't the only person, again. Like, I'm saying, like, there was a lot of things. I could tell you different things. His child's mother, he put his hands on me and her at the, like, in the same situation. I've seen, what? There was, I got my ass beat because I tried to save her. Like, it was a lot. It was a lot. He actually ended up, like, he cheated on me with a lot of different people, including her. Out of all the other people, she got pregnant again. So I can honestly say, like, I remember, it's crazy because that's what the first thing I was starting with my book. That was one of the craziest days for me, finding out that she was pregnant again, because I was like, what the fuck? Like, I felt like, what is happening here, you know? Yeah. And in essence, I was doing a lot. I was doing a lot for him. I didn't have nothing, but I was doing a lot for him. I had a lot of places I could have been. I could have been at home. I could have been at school. I could have been. I had so many friends that were so willing for me to stay. And I did stay with my friends sometimes to just get my head out of, you know, like, being depressed. Because I truly became depressed. Like, truly became depressed without even realizing I was depressed. What's it called? But I would be outside with him for no reason. His family was, they were kind of done with him too, but they enabled it at the same time. Yeah, like, it was just a lot with that too. Like, but they gave up on him, and I still didn't give up on him. But the way he, like, treated me was like, I was just, and I took it. I took it. Obviously, I believed it, right? Because once again, in that whole situation, like, the females that I know that do have fathers, even the females that I know that don't have, like, their fathers too, honestly, or wasn't raised by their fathers, like, they were like, why the hell? Like, why are you going through this? Girl, it was, I guess the one time I'll say that my friends know about, because eventually with people that are in domestic violence situations, mm-hmm. Your family, your friends can try as much as they want to, but it's, you know, I know you're going to feel like somebody's giving up on you, but at the same time, it's like, okay, one of my friends, what she told me was, she was like, honestly, what made her, because our relationship for the first time ever, because we never had problems, and for the first time ever, we were like separate. I didn't understand. It was like my birthday one time, and I realized she wasn't there to celebrate my birthday. And she told me later on in life, more recently, actually, she was like, honestly, I just couldn't be there to literally watch you. Like, she said, I was scared for your life. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I couldn't be the one to call your mom and tell your mom, like, you're gone or something like that. Like, it couldn't be me. So she had to, like, you know, remove herself. And the thing is that, like, there was a time it's crazy because he actually was beating on me. Why? Because I found out from this girl that actually went to our school too, that he was, like, cheating on me, of course, one of the many women. And he was mad at me because I was talking to the girl. So I guess he switched it because he was like, he don't like that girl. Like, why am I talking to her? And I'm like, what? Like, she told me. Like, what do you want me to do? Or whatever. And, He ended up, I remember something happened. I don't even know how. Like, we ended up at his, like, child mother house. I was really connected in a way to the family because I was with, like, his kid or whatever. So me and her, it's like we hated each other, but at the same time, I don't know. We hated each other, low-key. But eventually, it was like we understood because we both went through, like, the same thing. Yeah. And this at this time, she's pregnant, like, with the second kid. And I remember, like, I don't even remember. I think I was trying to get my laptop something. And he's just like, ah, like, Jesus. Just, like, really punching me. The real thing is that I want to say this here, too. When people think domestic violence, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, both. I guess domestic violence happens to both men and women. But, like, don't think that there's a part of their mind that's like, oh, yeah, she's a girl, so I'm not gonna do it. Like, he was hitting me like I'm a man. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, when I say it, people are like, no. Like, you know, it's almost unbelievable, but it's like, nah, he was hitting me like, oh, it's a man, or whatever. And I remember he told me, he was like, the reason why, because his child's mother came in the middle between us, and she was like, I remember her words were, that's enough. But it's okay, because once again, she's been through this, like, we go through, or whatever. And he was like, just remember that my son is the reason, like, who saved me, because she was carrying his son, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, wow, bad. I'm hysterical, driving, hysterical. I don't even know what I was going to do. And I went to one of my friend's house, and I messed up, like, my face, everything. It was just bad. And they took me to the hospital or whatever. And they, I mean, had to press charges on him, of course. And that wasn't the first time. The sad thing about it is he went to jail quite a few times. And out of the quite a few times, I bonded him out.
What?
Five times. Five what? Or six. Yep. And some of the times were on my cases. Some of the times were on my cases.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I don't know why. Like, it's just like, I don't know why I wanted to be with him so bad. Like, I felt like that was the only person that I could be with. And it just didn't make any sense. Like, if you think of it logically, it didn't make any sense at all. But emotionally, it's like, I don't know. It surpassed the good. But it's like I was holding on to the good more, even though it really just wasn't worth it. It really wasn't worth it. It wasn't even really, like, feeding my true soul. Like, I don't know. Especially being older now and looking back at it and, you know, kind of being in a different space. And when you, like, see how somebody else kind of can really, like, love you, quote unquote. I'm like, damn, I'm even trying to figure out if I was in love or if I was just, like, in, okay, I'm doing a lot of reading, like I said, on myself. Okay. And one of the things that I've learned is that I have a anxious attachment style. And people with anxious attachment style is, like, you don't want the person to leave you. You want them to stay. You feel like, what's it called? Somebody leaves, they're gonna abandon you, da da da. Apparently it comes from, like, your upbringing. And I did have, like, a dad that he would be there, not be there. So everything started to make sense. And they say, apparently, people that have this attachment style are generally highly sensitive people. So I'm all like, what the heck? It all makes sense today. Like, but back then, it's like,
you couldn't understand why you were doing
it. I didn't understand it. There was really, like, it's a lot of stories. And we don't even have the time for it. It's a lot of stories that, whew,
but I don't know. But is it, like, possible that he just gave you attention? One, you said that growing up, you didn't get that. You're always bullied. Dad left. Mm-hmm. Here's somebody that, as much as he was cheating, you know, in and out, he was consistent with his behavior. Mm-hmm. Even though it was bad behavior, he was consistent with it.
Yeah.
And then two, he was somebody that at one point he did say, I love you. So you're holding on to that. And maybe that's part of what, that was the chase
for you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably exactly what it was. It was somebody telling me, yeah, he would say that he loved me. Even though, like, in my head, it's like, I know this is not what love is supposed to be.
Especially you saw it with Mom. And you said, that would never be my life.
But it's kind of like, you know that whole, I had this, I'll be truly honest. I know I had this ride or die mentality, quote unquote. But, wow. Girl, literally, I was literally trying to die. Oh, my gosh. Like, oh, it was, no. And that's why today I'm like, I'm not going to say, like, today I'm not. Like, I still feel like I'm going to have your back, but not to the detriment of literally, like, my entire life. You know what I mean? Like, no. And unfortunately, it has, like, brought me today to be a way more, like, I struggle with trust so bad. Because
sure.
Forget the, do you listen to Ari Lennox?
Yeah.
I don't, do you listen to the end of her songs when she's like doing her banter?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like there's one of the end of the songs where she's like, I feel like emotional abuse is way worse than physical abuse or whatever. She was like, because that mess up like your whole mind and stuff and you get disorders. And I'm like, sis.
You get me.
Because the physical, I can honestly tell you, like, the physical, is, you know, it sucked. They ended up having, like, a whole intervention for me, my friends. Girl, you say, oh, today, I'm sitting here and I just see, like, 15 of my friends. And I'm just like, oh, mind you, I was, like, still, like, healing. Like, it wasn't good. But when I think about it today, I'm like, wow. Damn, like, them people really gave a fuck. Like, they gave a fuck. But, yes, the emotional part to it, it's what's, like, the cheating was killing me. The fact that I was going out of my way for somebody so much just to, like, it's, I don't know. Like, I just still basically wasn't shit or whatever. Like, it messed me up. To the point that I grew up and that I would say like that's technically the only like full blown, I don't want to say only relationship, I'm in a relationship right now, but like full blown long term relationship that I had. And it was I don't even know if toxic is the word, like it was just terrible. Come to find out though, he was diagnosed bipolar.
Oh,
schizophrenic,
really? Okay.
And he also, I guess, diagnosed with depression or whatever. So, but it took a long while after before we found that out. So he's just being on all these girls, and then you know, and it took him going to jail before he found that out too. And I mean, to go to the question where you were like, where was the time that I was just like, these guys called me and were like, oh, yeah, he's acting like, can you get him out? Because he knew I was going to get him out at this point. Why did he go to jail? Because of the girl he was cheating on me with, like the fifth girl that he cheated on me with. And come to find out, he literally, like, she was, like, beat unconscious. Like, the freaking... They had to, the freaking, like, you know, police and everybody had to, like, no. And that scared me. Like, I don't know why, out of all the things I've been through, that scared me. Because, not to say that I haven't had, like, slight, whatever. No, that scared me. Because I was like, yo, how long am I going to do this for? And I think I was just over it. So there was just a moment where I was like, I can't keep doing this. I was literally at work. I was like,
oh.
I was at work when I got that call. I remember I was just like, I can't keep doing this. Like, I can't keep doing it. And, I mean, it was hard. It was painful. It was somebody that, like, I knew, apparently, who will always, you know, still try to get back. Girl.
He trying
to. It's so funny because, like, you know, Like, I'll just say, since Risa, because, I mean, he's locked up. Okay. What's the code? I don't know if you know, but if you block a number and it leaves a voicemail, like, you can still see, like, block messages. So, like, I've seen in the past year that he has...
lefty messages.
Right. Like, it automatically leaves you a message because it's, like, coming from the state or something like that. Uh-huh. Or the thing, it'll, like, this is correctional. I'm like, oh, shit, wow. Like, damn. It's 2022, though. Like, hell no. Like, there was a time I did speak to him, like, a couple years back. Like, I don't even remember. And I remember I told him, I was like, I'm not even, like, in that space. Like, the person that I was then and the person that I am now, though I still struggle with insecurity, going back to that, I couldn't even allow that. Like, I know what I want to do. I know, like, who I want to, or God's grace, I envision to, like, be with, or the type of person I want to be with. And it's definitely not somebody that I know can whoop my ass and doesn't give a F. You already did it so many times. Like, what makes you think that I think that you, quote unquote, change? I was like, honestly, your best bet is truly finding, changing for yourself, mm-hmm. and finding someone else that does not know your past. You know what I mean? Like, someone that you could really, like, be a different man for, or whatever. Because it ain't me. Like, it's not me.
So it's been years since that day, you know, you finally just said, I had enough. Mm-hmm. How many years?
Since I said I had enough?
Yeah. It's, and, like, you truly just...
15?
Oh, wow.
7? Mm-hmm. It's amazing that it's 7 years, but yeah, about 7 years. And we started our journey, quote unquote, in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's remarkable. 7 years, I'm very proud of you. So you keep mentioning a certain somebody, a boo thing.
Oh.
So I wanted to touch on, like, based off of your past, you know, and thanks for sharing. How do you navigate a new relationship, you know, with the past that you've since, you know, been healed from or still healing from?
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I'll tell you that. Like, of course, even before, like, my man or my boyfriend now, whoever I was speaking to before, I don't even know how to explain it. It's a lot of work because it's still hard. Like, it's still hard. Like I said, I struggle with trust, but it's like I have to actively tell my mind, like, or I have to actively, like, separate what I went through then and what is happening now. Separate the people, exactly. Yeah. Like, I have that a lot. I have this conversation with my mom a lot too, like, my girlfriends or whatever, where they're like, you literally cannot blame what you experience on someone, like, completely, you know,
new.
It's not fair at all. So it's tough because, like you said, I'm still actively, you know, working on those things. I'm definitely not in a place where I'm like, girl, you ain't shit. I know, like, you know, I'm the shit a little bit.
No.
Or whatever. So, I don't know. It's just, like, fighting whatever the negative thought is. Like, that's how I have to... whatever negative thought that comes, that's like, oh, he's away, da da da. Oh, is he doing this? Because the worst part about it is, like, there's certain things that if it even seems similar to what happened like years ago,
okay,
it's easy to kind of, like, be like, he's doing the same thing. You know what I mean? That he was doing, even though, like, there's no evidence for it or anything like that. It's easy to do it, but I fight that. I don't.
Can you vocalize it to your now boyfriend?
Oh, yeah.
And how has he reacted, like?
Oh, well, he's a very patient guy. I'll say that. God's grace. God knew I needed somebody that was patient because I didn't know that I was impatient. But anyways, he's very patient. And, like, he I was like scared to even get into what I've been through because it's, I don't know, some people will use it against you, you know, like it's a I don't know, like, oh, girl, you damaged, you know what I mean, or whatever, but he just be like, oh, okay, like, I kind of understand why you maneuver the way you do, but just know I'm not that person, you know, it's just believing it and running with it, and one of the things that I'm working on a lot is understanding, like, my worth, or be, you know, self-worthiness is a thing, because if you don't, that's the reason why I was going through that stuff so much, because it's like, girl, you, I obviously didn't feel like I was worthy of anybody else. That's why I was like, no, this is the guy that I'm going to stay with. We're going to ride or literally die. You know what I mean? Like, no. So.
It's funny you can laugh at that joke.
Like, girl, I'm telling you, so I tell you all the time, like, yo, you don't understand. Oh, man, I've heard some crazy things. I've seen some crazy things, been through some crazy things, felt, because I feel a lot, and I felt some crazy things, like, lost weight without even knowing it, and people just kept saying, like, girl, da-da-da, and when I look at my pictures back, like, now, back then, it's like, yeah, girl, you lost weight, and it's like a part of me felt a little bit good, because, you know, one of my things that I struggle with, again, was weight, or whatever, but when I look at it now, I look like sick. Mm-hmm. Like, I look sick. I've always had bags. Like, I have bags that won't leave my face under my eyes. But I was like, damn, you, wow. Like, you look sad, girl. Like, for real, for real. It's interesting. Like, I don't know. Just looking at then, now. Yeah, I gained weight, but I'm way happier. I don't give a fuck. Way happier. A lot of stress, but still happy.
What is one of the things, though, when your now boyfriend, you know, made his pursuit known, or, you know, you guys were talking, like, what was it that made you say, I'm going to give this a try? I'm going to give you a chance. Let me see.
He was so thoughtful. Like,
you didn't think that was a facade?
Him being thoughtful?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. Like, first of all, the first time we went on a date, he had her focus playing in the car, right?
Okay.
So I'd be telling him that's our song or whatever, but, and I was like, what? Like, all the, like, the playlist, and that's one of the things we connect on a lot is the music. Yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, he lets me be me, like, and there's a lot of things that, like, and he also will tell me, you know, girl, like, you doing this, like, come on. And, like, we could tell each other, yo, like, you're doing this. I don't know, like, be honest, but he was just thoughtful, and I could honestly say I've never really dealt with someone that thought about me before themselves. No, I'm a giver. I'm a empath. I'm always the person that's like trying to please and all this stuff like that. So it's like, it's hard to come across people that will do the same for me, you know? So when I realized that, no, he's like, he doesn't do it because I asked or anything like that, I'm like, oh dang, like, yeah, he's cool. That's the one in the
hey,
team.
Hey,
okay. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm not to slice it. No.
We get you.
No.
Let's not be surprised.
We receive it, Jesus. Man. It's so funny. Every time, like, when my mom or my aunts be like, oh, when you, I'm like, please chill out. Because I'm not the type to even press all of that either,
yeah,
which sucks.
Naturally.
Yeah, but yeah, like, you know how some girls like, no, you need to this, like, we need to, I'm like, okay, I'm not saying that I'm gonna be here like for 8 years,
right?
But I'm just saying, like, I'm not pressing none of that out,
right,
at all.
You,
like,
want him to come to that conclusion.
Heck yeah.
So are you doing anything currently within your community to help victims
I, okay, so first of all, I just finished school. So just give me a pass, guys. But it's something I really want to do. Like, I would say this is the first thing that I'm, like, branching into, you know, talking about domestic violence and stuff. It's always been something I wanted to do, especially for, like, young, like, girls that are within the age of, I want to say, 13 to, like, 18, like, right there in middle school to high school, because people don't think we're having real relationships. Like, adults, I don't think we're having real relationships. Exactly, right? But you as that person, especially while you're growing and your hormones are literally, like, growing at that time, like, you feel like you're really in love. So it's like, you know, some people, especially if you're not as secure as the next person, you may do anything for love and then end up in the worst spot because of it, you know? I always say I'm a lucky person. Or no, not lucky. Mom always says I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. But that's my goal, like, to really talk. I want to get girls, young girls. I don't even want it to be just girls, though, because the thing is that domestic violence happens to all of us, like, females and males. We just see it as, like, because males are more strong, aggressive, strong, whatever. But, like, it happens to both. So I do want to open it up to both sexes, of course. But just to have a place where people can really just talk, feel better in a way where, like, you can hear other people's story and know that it's real. And I don't know, maybe if you hear somebody else's story that you're like, dang, that's crazy. And, like, you don't want to get to that, you know? Maybe it'll change your mind. I don't know. Like, but I don't have the plan for it, but it's a plan that I'm working on. I do need to get into the community, though. I haven't done a lot of community stuff just yet, but it's the plan. Like, now that I'm finally done with school, whatever. I have to use that as an excuse.
It's funny, you know, it's surprising anyway that, you know, you are definitely making that impact now by telling your story on this episode. What made you decide to even tell your story now to the world on this platform? If you don't have a plan for the, you know, other stuff that you ultimately want to do, as far as the, you know, having a support group or a place of safety for those who are survivors of domestic violence, why was this important to you to talk about your story on, you know, now?
I know I keep bringing up this school thing, right? And I swear I'm not, like, I was raised by a mom that she's like, whether you go to school or you don't, like, just do whatever you want to do type thing. God's grace, because, like, you know, the African community, that's not how a lot of the parents are. Yeah, exactly. So, it's God's grace. But, it was me who decided to finish school. The reason why I stopped going to school was because I got so wrapped up in my ex. I got so wrapped up in him. I literally, my first semester was the most successful at Bowie. My second semester, I wasn't even on campus. Like, I was home. I was doing whatever. I left. And then I think I left him for a little bit. I decided to go back in 2013. I started in 2011. Went back, still messed up. Like, I swear, I'm still with him. I still messed up. Like, for real. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to drop out. And he honestly kind of convinced me, like, I don't need school, you know? True story. Convinced me that. So, I told you 2015 is when I was like, mm-mm. 2016 is when I decided to go back to UMGC. Now I'm an adult. Now I'm about to live on my own, all this stuff. I can't go to physical school. And yeah, it took a while, but I don't know. School's not everything at all. But it was an accomplishment that I thought I wasn't going to be able to make. And it was simply because of, you know, like, my situation I let happen to me. Because of, like, let's take it all the way back to the nitty-gritty again. Insecurities, like, really just not believing in yourself in all ways. Forget relationship, just like as a human being, like just believing. I was, like I said, I do a lot of just, I will draw up an article about self-worthiness or whatever, and I'll just read it. I'll take notes on it and stuff like that and try to read back on it. And like I was just reading that the definition of being self-worthy or is just knowing that you deserve to be. Like, you know, and I'm like, damn, that's something I've struggled with for a long time. And I'm like, it's in those situations, like those terrible negative situations or whoever you're with, like hurting you, all this, I know I can't stop all the domestic violence in the world. I can't stop the emotional abuse. I can't stop, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna happen everywhere, unfortunately. In some cultures, that's just honestly what it is. Yeah, like, you can't speak up on it. It's just like a part of your life, you know? But if there's somebody, I don't know, if there's somebody that's like, damn, wow, I don't know, like, that sounds similar to what's going on, or I don't know. I just think it's necessary. I don't think it's something to hide. I used to hide so much before. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed of, you know, the fact that even after the intervention that my friends had with me, I went back or whatever, and I kept going back. I was getting my tail thrown around without telling nobody at this point now. So now I'm, like, hiding. Right. Like, really, really hiding because I want to still be in this relationship for whatever reason and still, like, hold on to the people I love. And I was just doing so much of that, that as time passed, it's almost like, because it's so damn, I don't know if you noticed, I haven't been saying names, but there's somebody that we both know. Okay. You know, she's very God-fearing. And something she always says to me is she feels like I went through what I went through for all of us. Not in a negative way or whatever, but she feels like everybody that was around me, everybody that can, you know, that's witnessed my story, been through it with me, or, you know, hears the story, it's almost like I took, I don't want to say I took the burden off of them in a way where, you know, it's like you saw it. So you're like, they're never going to do that. They're never going to go through it. Exactly. They know that it's possible. They know it's real, you know, because like I said, I think sometimes domestic violence, emotional abuse, all that is like a taboo to people. People know it's there, but they don't actually take it seriously until something really serious happens. So ever since, like, she told me, and she always tells me that, like, you went through that and we've, like, watch it, and at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's truly a testimony.
Yeah.
For me, and I just whatever it could do to just know that shit is real, and I don't know, it's easier said than done to be like, man, don't let nobody play you, don't let nobody hurt you, don't let nobody put their hands on you. But I don't know. If there's a time that you, I'll just say, if there's a time that you're like, yo, I need to leave, like, I really need to go, I don't know, as much, because, like I said, I know emotional pain. I know that pain where you feel like you're breaking away from somebody that you're so, like, used to, so connected to, or whatever. But if there's a time that in your head says, I need to leave, like, I don't know, make that decision and go, like, because there truly is, one of the things that I'm realizing more and more, there's other people in this world, and there really is people that will, like, that, other than people that already care about you, there's somebody else that will care about you. And you need to care about yourself. Like, that's one thing.
That part.
I struggle with, what?
I grew to
realize that, girl, that, you know, it's cliche to say, if you don't love yourself, how somebody else gonna love you? Girl, I told myself this the other day, because I'm like, it's real. If you don't love who you are, right, how can the next person love you? Because it's like, you're never going to believe that they love you because you don't even love you. You feel me? It's like, if you don't love, like, you're never going to believe it. You're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Accept whatever.
Exactly. And the thing is that you could be, you're going to accept whatever, or the opposite side, you could have somebody that truly sees, like, all your insecurities, somebody that loves the ish out of you, all that stuff, and, but it's like, you don't believe it, and now, like.
And you self-sabotage.
Girl. Oh, that's my middle name. You didn't know? It's Catherine self-sabotage.
No, we're not claiming that no more. We're not claiming that.
I'm not going to say the last name, but yeah. Girl, that's true. But
it's true, though. It's like, you hit the nail on the head. The other side of that is like, you know, we're so deserving of love, and I think that's anybody. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to you, if you don't love yourself, if you don't think you're worthy, the greatest thing could come in your life and you just let it literally fall out your hands because you don't know how to receive it well. Yeah. You don't know how to accept it, or you don't believe it. That's mm-hmm. one of the things. And I think, again, we got to be careful. The things that we harbor in our thoughts,
yep.
you know, what we say to ourselves can truly mimic in our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it will, you know, bring whatever comes our way. Girl.
Girl. I'm telling you. You said the word deserving. I told you. I be Googling it. I literally Googled the other day. How can I understand that I'm deserving? You know, like, it's just different things that I'm just trying to, you know, like I said, actively working on it today. Because, yeah, just because we're, what, anyways, 28, you know, 29, because I was going to say nearing 30, right? That's what I was going to say. It doesn't mean that I or we have all our stuff together at all. So it's like, yeah, there's definitely growth, but then there's still, like, you know, we all try to, like, fight and battle and be better every day. So,
And that's the whole point. Life isn't easy. We're making it hard. We're just making it more difficult. Thanks. So, more and more, as we heal, as we, you know, find out what our insecurities is. And this is what I wanted to say. It is amazing that you can piece together childhood trauma, dad being out. You know what I mean? Not in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, piecing together, being bullied, you know, your own insecurities because of that, you know, going, you know, coinciding with the domestic violence that you went through, be able to piece that all together to see the reason why, but also have this beautiful testimony of recent graduate in a beautiful, healthy relationship now. Yes. And you're able to laugh about certain things that, again, you're not finding it comical, but it just shows how much you have overcome. And like you often say, the grace of God is because of that.
Yeah.
And that's something Amen. That we all can definitely just inspire to, you know, be better just off of your story. So that wonderful person who told you all of that, that you did this, unfortunately, you have to go through this for us to kind of see that, hey, whatever we're going through in life, it doesn't mean that's the end of for us. We definitely have a story, mm-hmm. and we can overcome all things. And you are inspirational and amazing person. You really, really are. And so, you know, thank you again. I really do appreciate you coming here and telling your story to me and the whole world. I don't know about Catherine, and there's much more to you. You said you're a writer and all of that. But I wanted to ask you, before we get out of here, who is Catherine today? I asked you that before, but I wanted to ask you again. Who is Catherine?
Who is Catherine? Wow. That's so funny. Honestly, strength, a different type of strength. Like, that's what I was saying, self-aware. I think I can, unfortunately, I talk more negative than positive of myself, like I said earlier, but I'm trying my hardest to just accept the things that I do know about myself. And I know that I'm very self-aware. I'm understanding in a different way, like, because of my experiences. You know how, like, you could be talking to your girlfriends and you're talking to your girl's telling you all the stuff that's going on with her man, and you're just like, nah, he ain't shit. You know what I mean? Like, girl, you need to leave him alone. Like, no, 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 whatever, right? I realize my experiences have made me more, I guess, more human in a way. Or I understand how to, I guess that's empathy for real. You know? Yeah, just as much as it could be, like, the worst situation they're going through. And I'm going to tell you, like, bro, like, realistically, this is not okay. I also know the human side of it. I know the love side of it. I know the emotion side of it. I know the part where, like, yeah, we see the outside of things. But when two people are together, like, you don't see what's going on, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't see what's going on. Like, we don't know what's going on. And when I say that, I say in a sense where, I'm not even him. Like, unfortunately, I don't wish bad on him. I really don't wish bad on him. Honestly, I always say that, like, if I was to hear, like, God forbid, he was, like, you know, out of, you know, transitioned or something, I would still be, like, sad, because he's a human, you know what I mean? So it's like we're all humans, and yeah, not, it's not saying it's okay or anything like that, but it's just I don't know, I'm able to see stuff from the human side. Like, yeah, people like to talk about logic a lot or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, logically I can tap into my logic side, but I also could tap into the human side. It's not just emotions and logic either. Like, we're all humans where we think that we're going to do the right, or we want to do the right thing all the time, but we just can't. Sometimes our body literally just, we're not. We say heartbreak. Our heart don't literally break, but we feel it, right? So, I don't know. I feel like I'm a giver. I'm nice. I don't even know what else to say, girl. I really don't know what to say about who I am today. I'll say that I am way, I know Catherine more than I did before. Let's say that. I know Catherine more than I did before. I'm still trying to figure Catherine out, but I know who I am way more. I know what I want. I do know what I deserve. I know the work I need to put in, you know, to get what I deserve. Because it also can be, oh yeah, just because you went through trauma or all that stuff, that, oh yeah, people are just going to feel bad for you all the time or stuff like that. No, like, you have to, like, keep growing, you know, don't let it be you. And I think that's what takes me to the reason why I can kind of laugh at it, because it's not who I am anymore. It's really just not who I am. It's just not who I am. I was begging for like nothing in a way. And, that's not who I want to be.
And that's definitely not who you are.
Nah.
It definitely shows.
Amen.
Thank you, girl.
Thank you, girl. Thank you for having me. And yikes, all the ums. You know when they said that there was not supposed to be, like, back in the day, like, a good speech doesn't have the ums in it?
But, girl, this ain't no speech, it's conversation.
That's true. Okay. We'll don't mind me.
We'll be right back, y'all.
I'm not sure if you noticed, but I asked Catherine the same question twice, at the beginning and at the end, and that was, who is Catherine today? And the reason why I asked it is because I wanted to show how we respond to ourselves, you know, initially with no you know, nothing to preface it. How, just off the whim, how do we respond when we talk about ourselves? Is it in a positive way or a negative way? And go back and listen. I won't give it away, but there is a stark difference in how, when I originally asked Catherine to answer and how she answered it towards the end, there is a difference. I won't give it away, but you'll see what I'm getting at. So I want to do the same with you guys. Insert your name, where appropriate, when I asked, who is blank today? I love you and I mean it. Peace.
Soul and Substance was produced by Nicole Ebanks. The Soul and Substance theme song was produced by Lawrence Ebanks. If you would like to ask for advice or leave comments, send an email to soulandsubstance25@gmail.com. For blog posts, visit soulandsub.wordpress.com and follow us on Instagram at soul.n.substance. That's soul.n.substance.